No, and I'm saying that for those who are against this, and they're using the point of no, they're not volunteering. The president doesn't volunteer. Mm-hmm. They get salaries as well.
They're working. Mm-hmm.
So is that what those who are against that are saying? Is that what you're saying, essentially?
All right, so I guess this is where we wrap up our conversation. Thank you so much for tuning in to Breakfast with Standing. We're back tomorrow, same time. That's for Breakfast with Standing. Right now, we're getting into the news, and this is the last hour of the Phoenix Breakfast.
Yes, much more to come. Please, let's keep the conversation going also via our Facebook page, Phoenix FM Zambia, where we are streaming live, and also via our WhatsApp line. I forgot to mention the news that 8 is up next. The time right now is 8 hours.
This time check is brought to you by Stanley Bank.
Check. There we go.
106.7. What was it?
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
The clash of the Amatim Yakalamba is finally here. Yellow, Power Dynamo, and the Airmen Red Arrows will battle it out at this year's Absa Cup Final at Levy Wanawasa Stadium on Sunday, 10th May 2026. Kickoff at 15 hours. Who among these big machines will reign champion this year? Grab your tickets now at www.techpay and catch the action live on Supersport and the Absa Facebook page. One match, one champion, be there. Your story matters.
Good morning, the news at 8, the headlines. The government chief whip dismisses concerns over 74 pending bills ahead of parliament resolution. Peter Sinkamba criticizes government over response to outgoing US envoy government concerns. And in global news, Trump says US supposed operation to guide vessels through Strait of Hormuz. To present the news at 8, my name is Christine Edisha. Government Chief Whip in the National Assembly Stafford Mulisa has defended the handling of 74 bills currently before Parliament, insisting there was nothing unusual about the legislative workload just days ahead of the dissolution of the House. Mr. Mulisa says the volume of bills under consideration remains within Parliament's capacity and maintained that all proposed laws will undergo the required stages of debate, scrutiny and approval without being rushed. He added that Parliament is the only constitutional and mandated institution responsible for processing legislation and expressed confidence that members of Parliament have sufficient time to conclude their work before the House is dissolved on May the 15th. Mr. Mulisa further noted that any bills not completed before dissolution will automatically be carried over for consideration by the next parliament after the general election. He has since urged the public not to be alarmed by the number of pending bills, saying the current parliament is capable of fulfilling its legislative responsibilities within the remaining time.
Anything before Parliament is legal. Every bill that comes to Parliament is legal. There is nothing like rushing a bill. They know that members of Parliament have the capacity to deal with the bill that is coming before Parliament. So those that are worried about bills in Parliament, they should understand that there is only Parliament that deals with the bill. So there is nothing like it's too late. Well, what is too late about a bill being in Parliament? The bills that will not be managed by the time Parliament is legal will come as the new members of Parliament now coming after the general election. For now, people must understand that Parliament is there to deal with the bill. That is why some standing orders have been suspended to allow members of parliament to sleep from 9 hours after the time the order paper is done. Zambians should know that they have got a competent government, a competent parliament that is able to deal with the bills as they come.
Green Party President Peter Sinkamba has criticized government's response to remarks made by outgoing United States Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, on governor's concerns, describing the reaction as unfortunate. Mr. Sinkamba says the issues raised by the outgoing envoy are not new, noting that they are based on audit reports and findings that have been in the public domain for several years, particularly within the health sector, where the concerns over financial management and accountability have been highlighted. He argued that instead of addressing the substance of the concerns, government focused its response on the diplomat, despite his experience and understanding of governance issues raised during his tenure. Speaking in an interview with Phoenix News, Mr. Sinkamba has further noted that government had previously indicated it would take corrective measures and close gaps identified in the audit report, but little progress appears to have been made since those assurances were given. He has since urged authorities to prioritize implementing the recommendations contained in the report, warning that continued inaction could erode public confidence in governance systems and accountability institutions. On Monday, May the 4th, Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation Minister Mulambo Haimbe said the remarks by the outgoing envoy were undiplomatic and delusional.
At the time, government said no, they were going to investigate and carry out measures to ensure that there is no repeat. But 1 year has gone. This is May. You know, that statement, which the former ambassador made, was last year May. So up to now, nothing has been done. That is extremely worrying that this comment from the ambassador coming at the time when these guys were saying they were going to make a difference, that they're going to put them into a Champions League.
The Civil Servants and Allied Workers Union of Zambia has attributed the high levels of indebtedness among civil servants to low disposable incomes and the absence of mandatory financial literacy training within the public sector. Reacting to the Bank of Zambia's financial stability statement, which indicates the public sector workers face a higher risk of loan default due to rising debt levels, Union President Dr. Joy Rennie says many civil servants are trapped in debt cycles because their earnings are insufficient to meet basic financial needs. Dr. Rennie explains that the situation has been worsened by the fact that many workers have resorted to borrowing to finance professional upgrades, including advancing from certificates to diplomas and degrees, in an effort to improve their qualifications and future earning capacity. He has also expressed concern over delays in the payment of allowances and other benefits such as leave pay and settling in allowances, noting that such delays have pushed some workers into further borrowing to meet household and education-related expenses. Dr. Abene added that while some younger civil servants may be making poor financial decisions, the broader challenge remains structural despite various government reforms. He says the core issues continue to be low incomes and weak financial protection mechanisms, and has urged government to introduce measures aimed at easing the debt burden among public sector workers.
A majority of the civil servants are in the debt trap. They have been trapped in this debt. It's difficult to come out because their disposable income is not enough. We are talking of civil servants on average getting 5,000, 4,000, 6,000. It is difficult. A lot of people might laugh at them that they don't know how to plan. They are financially indisciplined. That's why they are in this. That is not the correct position to everyone. So our message to people is, can we this financial literacy given to even civil servants? But the majority, they don't know how to manage finances. It is very important.
Caritas Zambia has questioned the Electoral Commission of Zambia's decision to collect 100,000 nomination fees from aspiring presidential candidates before their eligibility to contest is fully verified. Caritas Shingola coordinator Eugene Mulenga says the move raises serious questions about transparency, fairness and accountability in the country's electoral system. Mr. Mulenga argues that it is not reasonable for the commission to require payment of the 100,000 non-refundable fee without first confirming whether candidates meet key constitutional requirements, including academic qualifications, tax compliance and other eligibility criteria. He says the approach risks disadvantaging aspiring candidates who may later be disqualified after making the payment. Mr. Mulenga has since called for the immediate suspension of the nomination fee collection process until ECZ puts in place a clear and transparent mechanism for verifying candidate eligibility in advance. He has further warned that failure to address the concerns could undermine public confidence in the electoral process ahead of the August 2026